This is Mental, the podcast to destigmatize mental health. I'm Bobby Temps.
I'm Danny Hogan.
Each Thursday, we delve into a factor or condition that influences the mind and how to better manage it. With special guests and stats you can trust, here we go. For this week's lockdown bonus episode, I'm joined by Lawrence Smith. He's an actor based in London, but originally from Scotland, as you'll be able to tell with his brilliant accent. And he'll be sharing his experience being unable to work in the arts due to the pandemic, other factors in his home life, how his relationship with his partner has been going, and just some general tips on how he's coping and learning to come to terms with the amount of free time and thinking time that he's had in lockdown, not letting that affect his mental health negatively. He was an absolute delight to speak to, and we've got a full episode coming up in the future on a specific type of eating disorder that he has that we've never covered before on the podcast as well. For now, please enjoy this bonus lockdown interview with Lawrence Smith. But first, who's our sponsor? Let's find out.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So I am Lawrence, and I am an actor and singer, and since this has been released during lockdown, that also means I am unemployed. But you know, still trying to stay creative, keep that little side of my brain active. I recorded a song, I did a cover of a Dolly Parton song towards the start of lockdown, and I shared it. I'm on nextdoor.com, it's like a community group where people like talk about like what day does a bin go out and stuff. Anyway, so I shared on the group being like, hey guys, like I live in the area and I've recorded this song, and you know, feel free to ignore it if you want to. It's just I thought, you know, music right now might be quite useful to like make people feel better or whatever. Here we go. Anyway, so I got all these comments like, oh my god, this is amazing, or you're so good, or this is the best thing I've ever heard. I'm like, and then one guy wrote saying, feel free to ignore, I will. So that ruined my lockdown. Oh, damn. You're not going to say anything nice.
Although, in a way, there's something reassuring about that being one of your worst lockdown experiences. Overall, suggests to me that it's been okay-ish.
When I say my worst, you know, yeah, the crumbling of my industry and the complete lack of any positivity aside, yeah, that guy's random comment on the internet. But it's quite humbling as well. You know, it really brought me right back down to earth again.
Just when you were reaching out trying to find community.
Yeah, what a thing to say. You're not like a troll where it's whatever user 321 whatever, like it actually says his actual name and kind of where he lives. So I may or may not have vandalized his front door. Or I haven't done that, but I could do.
Just for the record.
Yeah, I feel like in case anyone is listening to this. Yeah,
there's loads of police listeners. And how is your industry overall, do you think, responded to what's happening?
Right now, this is end of June. Obviously, theatres have been very dark for a very long time now, so it's getting a wee bit scary with a lack of government involvement. But who knows what's going to happen? Fingers firmly crossed that something positive comes our way. I have to admit that I initially was quite involved in reading up and being kept up to date with things. I have to say that I've personally tried to like just take a little bit of a step back, because you know, if you asked any of us, oh, 3 months ago, where do you think we'd be today? You know, you'd never have guessed this. So I'm trying to not look too much into the future, because right now everything seems so up in the air. With my natural propensity for being quite negative, the only things I'm predicting are negative things. I think for my own personal well-being, I need to kind of, rather than focus on what could happen down the line, I'm trying to literally just do a day-by-day basis. I'm not even thinking like tomorrow. I don't know what, I've got zero plans, but I'll just figure it out on the day. Because there's not a lot I can be doing right now, which feels horrible, feels really, really crappy, but there's nothing I can do. The best thing I can do for, I don't know, society right now is not get ill and flood an ICU bed, you know? And so I'm just trying to be a responsible member of society and also maintain some sense of equilibrium and some sense of positivity, which is easier said than done. Some days are way trickier than others. Doesn't help when people write on my song saying, this wasn't fun. Go away, Mr. Man.
I agree. And I think that makes a lot of sense, focusing on the day-to-day when so much is uncertain. You know, it's very sure. much kind of at the core of what mindfulness is and how that helps people, bringing people back to more so the things they can control. Because right now, I think in many ways, our lives are smaller than ever. And so actually we have to focus very close to home. But we're equally also more sensitive to the outside world because of all we're seeing that's incredibly concerning on the news. And so even something like a comment that someone makes online, right now we're more vulnerable to it because our whole emotional state is upended.
Yeah, I would preface it by saying, like, I'm kind of kidding about that comment, but the fact that he left that comment about 3 months ago and I still talk about it maybe suggests that I actually haven't forgiven him at all. It's an odd time. Yeah, the world feels a lot smaller, but also, I don't know, the fact it is a global pandemic, you are aware of your place in the world, and it's just quite a heady thing to have to consider and have to look into the magic crystal ball and try and predict not just your destiny, but the destiny of millions of other people. It's, yeah, quite a lot to contend with.
It's insurmountable in so many ways. We did 12 weeks of coverage on COVID-19 instead of our normal episodes. And with that, I made predictions, and that was part of me trying to cope and wrap my head around it, because there was something reassuring about having a reason to think about all the news I was watching, find some kind of element of predictability in it. And then if I was right, then that felt quite reassuring, even though a lot of the things I turned out to be right about aren't really things any of us want. But right now, you know, what have we got in terms of predictability?
Yeah, these different milestones, using them as points on a map and be like, okay, if we've reached here, then we know where we are. Whereas it just seems that everything is so scattered and so hard to, it just seems like it's a really tricky time to navigate. And if you are someone who has issues with control or has used control in the past to try and give you some meaning in life, it's hard, it's tricky. And just, you know, having an acknowledgement of just, it's causing a lot of grief. There's a lot of sadness in the world. It feels quite heavy. You're also like, and also I have no job. As a type 1 diabetic, that's an added risk to consider when trying to find work as well. And it's a funny old time. Funny, funny old time. If we are looking for positives, I'm in touch with a lot more people than I was before. Even best friends who you just kind of assume you'd see them next week, whatever. Now we're having to like actually make concrete plans of, I will phone you at this time and that time. And I'm on the phone to my nan like every second day. And neither of us really have anything to say, but it's just nice chat and moan about the same old things and stuff and just trying to, I don't know, create our own sense of normality, create our own sense of a daily structure. I joked at the start of all this, like, oh, you know, staying at home and having nothing to do, I'm used to this. What's weird is that the rest of the world is also doing that as well. As it's drawn out and gone on, it's hard to find the humour in this situation, try as I might. So yeah.
I've had that experience a lot as well, just more time for reflection. And that's why I've been trying to find a lot of my positive of, even though a lot of the things I'm reflecting on and realizing I can't really act on right now, like certain career changes I'm considering, for example, it still in a way means I feel primed and I have something productive to do, other than the temptation to try and get back to a normal life, which I don't think we will get. And in many ways, I would argue a lot of people shouldn't be aiming for. You know, we weren't in a perfectly happy and supportive society beforehand. And in some ways, we felt more united during this.
Yeah, though I will immediately shout at someone in Tesco if they come too close to me. So yeah, but apart from that, a day goes by and I'm like, I have done nothing. I haven't left the house. I did shower, but that was just purely for the sake of my boyfriend and my cat, because they don't need to put up with that. You know, rather than judging myself, it's kind of like, well, actually, well, what else was on the table for you to do today? Like, what possible thing could you have done?
Right.
And trying to not be as so judgmental of like, oh, you wasted a day. Well, just trying to be a bit kinder to myself, so that at the other end of this, whenever that may be, I'm as put together as I can be and then can deal with it from there.
Right.
Also, having to do all these Zooms and FaceTime things, I don't know. Is it just me that I spend the entire conversation looking at my face? I don't look at the other person. I'm looking at me being like, why does my face do that? Or my eyes are different shapes. Have I just revealed that I'm an absolute narcissist?
No, not at all. It does entertain me slightly that you said all of that whilst I could tell from your eyes that you were looking at yourself whilst describing it.
Hopefully. I'm not ashamed of it. Just of like, I didn't know my forehead was that shiny or my nose is that shape. I don't know. I'm just, this time's really letting me look at my face a lot more than I would. So there we go.
I think it is a challenge and a lot of us are having to think about this because there's this kind of assumption that Zoom is equivalent, that it's just like going to a normal meeting. And of course it's not, because you're not faced with a mirror of yourself. You're also not looking at every other person at the same time. So, you know,
we're missing so many like little social cues and stuff, or like little twerks and little body language and stuff that you would usually, it would fill in the rest of the picture for you.
Right. So in some ways you're having to work harder for that, but then you're also seeing all these faces at once rather than having to turn to the individual people. So even visually, it can be quite overwhelming. And then you get off doing three of these back to back and you wonder why you're so exhausted.
Yeah.
But it's not the same. There's not the same ability to be passive and daydream in Zoom. It's still, you know, something we're getting used to.
Yeah. I wonder whoever is like the CEO of Zoom. I'd never heard of Zoom before this all kicked off. So
it's definitely grown a lot. I mean, Skype have really missed an opportunity. I'm old-fashioned, I still use Skype.
No one talks about Skype these days. Per Skype, R.I.P. Skype.
We do. We still get guests to download Skype for us. And you mentioned earlier wanting to feel more in control in a time when naturally we feel very out of control. Have you found that's come out in any negative behaviours?
The way that I'm exhibiting my control is through regimentation of time or regimentation of activities. So every night I'll go out for a walk, or so actually when it gets to like 5 to 10, I'm like, better put my shoes on, and I'll just go for quite a long walk. For now 3 months or so, I've done the exact same route every night, and that just kind of keeps me off, like, well, at least I've got my walk, and I've got that to happen. Also, probably got to say that my relationship with my body at the moment isn't the best during this time. I think just because I'm spending a lot of time with it, you know, with zero other distractions and a lack of activity. Like, I was very much, if I was to exercise, I would use the gym. I think because everyone there has a shared purpose, everyone is there at the gym because they are at the gym. Whereas if I'm going out for a run in the street, I'm passing people with their shopping bags, or I'm having to like wait a little bit while cars pass, and I just get very self-conscious. Whereas if I'm in the gym, everyone's there and everyone's sweaty and everyone's disgusting at the same time. If I try and like work out in the flat, I get a bit funny because like my boyfriend's here, or yesterday I tried to do some form of physical activity and nearly sat on the cat. So that's dangerous. So, you know, I'm missing El Gimo. And again, I'm trying to be like, it's okay, Lawrence, you know, this is such a weird time and it's okay if your body isn't in tip-top condition, when I'm being positive. But then when I'm being negative, I'm saying nasty things to my body. It's bringing into sharp focus, not having the distractions or not having destinations. You know, I'd walk around a lot pre-lockdown. If I had somewhere to go, I'd usually walk a lot of the way. Right now, we don't really have anywhere to walk. There's no reward for walking that far. You just kind of walk and then you just get sore feet. I have to pay a different form of attention to food, because whereas before I'd spend a lot of time riding solo, you know, on my way to something or coming back from an audition or on my way to work, and I'd just grab a sandwich or whatever, just like as fuel, you know, doing shops and weekly shops and plan meals. And so that's been an interesting little thing to get with. And it's hard to plan something some days depending on your state of mind.
Yeah. And in terms of those changes towards how you feel about food, do you think that's more so lockdown and kind of lifestyle related changes that are going on right now, or related to your eating disorder and how you maybe demonize food to an extent anyway?
I would put it down to lockdown. Lockdown has exacerbated any underlying food issues I was having before anyway, just because routine has entirely changed and structure of my day has entirely been upended. There's just naturally a lot more focus on every activity that I do. You know, I'm aware of how long I'm showering for, or how many podcasts I've listened to, or how many books I've read. I've read so many books. I'm so smart. I'm way more aware of my daily activities. And one of the daily activities is eating. So it's, yeah, a lot more mental energy is spent on it.
Have you found being in a relationship and being locked down together positive from a mental health angle, or have there been challenges?
Being in lockdown with a partner 24/7 every single day, I guess there have been positives in that I've had to be slightly less selfish. you know, you are spending a lot of time considering yourself and your behaviors, your thoughts and your feelings, but having to share a pretty small flat with another human being and a cat, you're having to park some of your things where you think, well, this is inherently my right to feel this way. Well, you know, you kind of have to weigh up actually just giving over a bit of time to the other person and just being aware that, you know, sometimes it's a global pandemic. So everyone's having a bad day collectively all at once. So there are some behaviors that have nothing to do with my mental health. They're just me being a dick sometimes. You know, acknowledging that occasionally, yeah, we need a break. So that's when a walk will happen or doing our own little routines. So touch wood, nothing massively challenging has occurred yet. So that's good.
Good to hear. And so we'll start wrapping up then. Are there any other things you've been finding helpful in terms of coping during this time that you'd like to share?
I, during this time, have not really watched any dramas. We've mainly been watching comedies, I think, just because right now the world is on fire. So I don't really need to see that dramatized. And so, yeah, trying to watch comedies. I've been listening to a lot more music. Thankfully, a lot of artists have continued to release their output during this time, which has been lovely to escape into and listen to podcasts and bits and bobs. And doing a lot more reading. I'm trying to stay creative as well in my own little way. Yeah, I think, I don't know, just trying to take every day as it comes and just being less judgmental of myself. Yeah. And the cat. Holy moly, the cat. We got her like in December, I think, just like spur of the moment. Let's get a cat, sure thing. And having to wake up every morning and having to feed this other sentient life form, because you just have to. You just have to look after the cat, and you have to clean out its poop, and you have to just look after it like it's your little child. I do actually think that our cat has been the best thing in lockdown for us, because she's imposed a lot of the routine and structure, actually, do bits and bobs with her. And she's been a lovely, not a distraction, because she deserves every second of my attention, because she's the best thing in this flat right now. My boyfriend and I totally know what the pecking order is right now. She's just this little innocent little thing of positivity. She doesn't know that there's a global pandemic happening right now. She isn't aware of the political upheaval at the moment. So she's this kind of really innocent little candle, which is keeping things alight for us at the moment.
Yeah. Love the metaphor. I've been having a similar experience with my cat as well. I describe it like she's soaking up our sadness.
Ooh, wait, isn't that she's becoming sad herself? And I ring her out at the end of the day.
No, just in terms of, like you said, she doesn't know what's going on. She's actually quite happy because she's seeing a lot more of me and my flatmate. And so it's a great lockdown for her.
Yeah, we're like, you know, on the Guardian website, and she's just over there licking her butt. So I don't know, out of the two of us, I think she's got the right idea.
Yeah, she's literally in the room with me now, which she isn't normally, but heaven forbid I'm away from her on the other side of a door for 5 minutes, because she has got used to a certain standard of company during this.
Well, yeah, and I don't know, I think whenever lockdown ends or whatever permutation it ticks on next, it will be a lot of adaptation for all of us, you know. But I do believe that we, for the most part, except for the knobs who are on beaches everywhere, the way that the world has adapted to this situation, it means that whatever the next step is, we'll adapt to that as well. I know there's a lot of grieving to be done for the way of life before this, but as you say, like, the way of life wasn't perfect for a lot of people. So actually, whatever comes next, I think it's scary and terrifying, but positives might come from it. And I think we as a society will adapt to it. And I'm taking the lead from my cat.
Brilliant. I think that's a great way to wrap up then. Thank you so much for joining me.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for listening. For a list of our recommended resources, visit mentalpodcast.co.uk. And remember, we are in no way a substitute for qualified counselling or other mental health support. Our show is edited and produced by the brilliant Pete Murta, with licensed music by NetSky. Links in the description. Speak to you next Thursday, and remember, you are enough.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing, that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists assign a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long-term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.